Now, after you do a successful campaign on Kickstarter, do you get companies coming to you going, we want to put your book out and mass produce it and put it in comic shops?
Fun story. No.
How's everybody been enjoying the rain? Have you been living in the rain, loving the rain? Memorial Day weekend was
mostly sick of it. Yeah. I'm so sick of it.
Did you see that lady that got stranded on top of her Waymo?
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
I wonder how many cities have those now. I don't like the Waymos. I do not like them. I always give them the finger. I know somebody's watching. So, if you know, as long as my son's not in the car and I drive by one, I'll just whip the bird at it.
Those videos of guys walking in front of them, making them stop.
Uh-huh.
On purpose. And they'll just walk in the lane just to have them drive slow.
I have a big problem with them because they take jobs away from people. Now, granted, I don't think being an Uber driver or a Lyft driver is a high-paying job, but it's something to help bridge, I don't know, in this day and age, it helps bridge some things.
That's what I'm saying. Waymos can't deliver food, so if you're a human, start delivering some fucking pizzas.
Have you been in a Waymo?
No.
I haven't either.
I'd be terrified.
Yeah, it is very disconcerting to see a car go by you and nobody's driving it and someone's in the back just looking at their phone waiting to get in a wreck or stranded someplace.
I don't even like it when I'm in a car and I'm not the one driving.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of all this automation that's coming. I do like going into a fast food restaurant and just ordering from the kiosk. That way you don't have to stand at the register like a dork.
As long as there's a person putting it together, I prefer that. As opposed to waiting on some sort of Rube Goldberg machine to make my Big Mac.
God, look at Dustin's background there. If you're listening, you don't see this. So that's why you got to go to the YouTube channel. But Dustin's background is like, there's so much chaos in that image. But that is like an ideal room. I would swap out the tube television for a HD TV, but I love it.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
Yep.
With that elf lamp up there.
Yeah, I like that.
Jeff, your background, you have a nice studio. Lizzie has her pink chair, and I have my weird studio with the 1980s whatever that is. I don't know what that stuff's called. I'm very tired, by the way. I'm filling in for my boss this week while he's on vacation. So I got to lead the show, and I do a lot more talking than I am used to. Yeah, I'm former MLB agent Joshua Kushnick. Jeff saw The Mandalorian. Who else saw it?
I saw it.
And you both liked it, right?
Yep.
I loved it, yeah.
You did. Knowing me, do you think I would like it?
Yeah.
I don't know how you couldn't like it.
Because I'm sick of Star Wars. I decided a long time ago that I was done. I don't want to watch anymore. But I liked The Mandalorian, especially season one. I thought that was a very good, solid season of quality entertainment because it was episodic and a Western.
Just pretend it's Dungeon Crawler Carl and Princess Donut.
Okay.
Did you stop there at season one?
What's the season? When did it bleed? How many seasons were there? Three?
Maybe four. Were there four?
There was three, and then it jumped over. It was tied with Boba Fett, Ahsoka. Okay.
Book of Boba Fett, I liked the idea, but then they had the teenager. Oh,
the kid gang?
Yeah.
The bikes. And it just got so ridiculous, and it stopped being a show about Boba Fett. I also didn't like the whole expanded Mandalorian universe. I didn't like Boca Raton. No, that's not what she's called.
Starbuck,
yeah.
Bo-Katan.
Yeah, I didn't like Boca Raton, that one. And then I was extremely disappointed in Obi-Wan, that show, or whatever the hell that was called, which should have just been called Princess Leia Runs Around a Lot. And I didn't watch The Acolyte, so I do need to watch Andor. Everybody loves Andor, so that I have, in my queue ready to watch because everybody loves it. And I haven't found any people that don't like it, so I have to stop being a baby about that. So I'll wait when it streams on Disney, I'll watch.
It's really good.
Because everybody loves it. I haven't heard one bad review. I've seen them online, and again, it's from the usual suspects, the haters. Although Red Letter Media, they didn't like it very much.
Yeah, they did a half in the bag pretty quick.
Half in the bag.
I don't know. I have a hard time sitting in the theater, like being that still for that long. Like, I feel like my freedom's been taken away. But that movie didn't make me feel like that.
So. Well, I have a problem going to the movies now because I'm older that I have to pee all the time. Like, I could hold the pee when I was 25. Like, I know I got to go, but I can hold it. I don't have that option anymore.
You just ask for an extra cup.
Yeah, that's true.
I usually have that problem too, but I made it the whole movie without peeing.
Well, I can't drink. I can't get one of those giant sodas.
Yeah, I had a large soda.
Not me. I end up peeing a lot. A Parade of Terribles. I guess you guys are finished.
When, boy? When are you going to get your act together?
It was horrible.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
Dustin's almost finished.
Yeah, I'm almost finished. I'm in the last part of the last heat. Yeah.
I'm really digging what's going on. I love the fact that Zev is doing the introductions and Zev is really nervous.
Yeah. The whole universe is falling apart.
If you haven't read the books or listened to the audiobooks, and I recommend the audiobooks, but reading, if you have a good imagination, you can also enjoy it that way. But if you're into that kind of literature, it's funny. There's a lot of action. It's gruesome. It's a good series of books. And I'm really glad that I listened to Dustin the very first time he ever mentioned it and started reading. Oh, no, I didn't do that. How long did I? Long time, didn't I?
You didn't wait as long as some things, but maybe a year.
Yeah, I did wait a while. I'm like, I don't have time for this. I got to re-listen to the Stephen King book that I've listened to 30 times. they're the best audiobooks ever made, I think, except for the two I narrated for my cousin Scott.
It's getting great reviews. The popularity of Matt and Jeff, especially online on YouTube, is just blowing up. I mean, have you ever heard or seen the channel The Charismatic Voice, the lady that listens to all the music, and then she's a voice coach? She did one of Jeff, his cold reading videos, and then he commented on it and was like, I've been watching you for years, and the fact that you're doing one of you're doing my voice is crazy.
Now I watched two of those ladies. Is she the one with the long hair or the short hair?
Long hair.
Okay. Yeah. She I think sometimes she gets a little amazed by songs she's never listened to before that I'm like, I can't believe you've never heard this. She did Eye in the Sky by Alan Parsons Project. How have you never heard that song in your life?
There's a whole thing on YouTube of a whole generation that hasn't heard anything, it seems like. They're astounded by the Beastie Boys.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, and it really makes you feel old.
Is Mike T the only one that's still alive?
Yes. No.
No, not Mike.
He's the only one doing something right now.
Yeah, he's got a new album. He put an album out. I tried to listen to it on Spotify, and I found it unlistenable.
He recorded, if it wasn't one track, it was the whole album, but I think he recorded the whole thing on acid.
Okay, maybe I'll give it another shot, but I'm not going to take acid to listen to it. Now, are you going to read the book, Lizzie, or are you going to listen to the audiobook?
I enjoyed listening to the audio. Like we had them on a guest on the show. Was it last summer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had them both.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to have a guest on and not know what I'm talking about. So I started listening to the first book and I was doing it you guys said it was good, but just simply because they were going to be on the show, and I got really into it, and I would stay up till like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Wow.
Listening to it. So yeah, I would suggest, it's the first audiobook I've ever listened to.
Really?
Yeah, and wow, I really liked it.
That really damaged all other audiobooks for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going to have a hard time if you read something that's narrated by Stephen King. Jeff and I went to the Punchline Saturday night, and we saw Emo Phillips, a comedian. When was the last time we saw him? Or maybe I haven't ever seen him. No, I've seen him before, but it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably when the Punchline was in the old place. Didn't he come with Judy Tenuta?
Maybe that was probably before I worked in radio even, but I met him a couple of times when he was on the old radio show, the regular guy show, but that was a fun show. What was the name of the feature act? The guy that's touring with him? Was it Ken
Rogerson?
Yeah. I recognize that guy. He's been doing stand up a long time. He's
an actor too.
Yeah. He was very funny. But Emo was great. And apparently his pocket is magical and you can fill an entire wardrobe. He just kept putting stuff in his pants pockets and it would disappear. Like he had a hole in his.
How was the 4 p.m. crowd?
It was a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, they canceled the night show, so I guess that didn't sell very well, or the 6:30 show, but the 4 o'clock show did really well. And he extended it. He did longer because they gave him the cut light, but I think he did another 20 minutes after that, almost a half an hour. And Jeff left. I mean, I think we both wanted to get a picture with him, but the line, I waited in line, I think, for 10 minutes, and he was just so nice, and he wanted to talk to everybody and get a photo with them. So I just ended up bailing and going home.
Yeah, he was blocking the door, so you couldn't get out without just talking to him and taking a picture with him.
Who was I talking to the other day? Oh, this was on the radio. I was talking about going to see Emo yesterday on the regular. No, see, I'm tired, but on the Von Hessler Doctrine, and he's out, so I'm hosting. And I was talking about Jeff and I going to see Emo, and it got to the point where was he ever married to Judy or? Yeah, they were married. So I said, yeah, he was married to Judy Tenuta. And Autumn Fisher goes, what's she up to these days? I go, she's been dead for like 3 years. she passed away, unfortunately. But I've seen her more than I've seen him. And she was always a blast.
Radio Labyrinth
is also brought to you by The Punchline. It's tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner. The Punchline is Atlanta's longest running premier comedy nightclub. You can get a huge slab of cake, some waffles, maybe some pancakes and sausage. That way you're satisfied and full while you're having a beer and watching very funny comedy. Coming up this weekend, Hank Dennison. June 3rd, Don McMillan. June 4th, Eric Eaton does Magic for Adults. June 11th, Danny Plischuk. On June 12th through the 14th, Rosebud Baker. June 17th, Sincerely Divorced Podcast. June 18th, Dale Jones. And on June 24th, Brian Moot. Patreon members, if you're interested in winning, just let me know on Patreon, and you could win a pair of passes to see a comedy show of your choice. That's I guess James Franco is coming out of his forced retirement. So somehow he's attempting a Hollywood comeback by joining a film in the Rambo universe, which is, people are saying that it's a prequel, and this could help rehabilitate his image. I don't remember what he did that was so bad. Do you?
He was an acting teacher, and he would sleep with his students.
Okay. Yes.
They were all adults.
Yeah. It was all consenting, and it was all...
I don't understand why he was in a position of power. Absolutely got canceled for that. I don't. And I'm not trying to, like, become an enemy of women here. I just don't understand how that happened so severely to him. Because it even says sexual misconduct. Well, what is that?
That was in the middle of the Me Too stuff. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Really, really heavy.
Oh, is he going to be Rambo?
That would be funny. He was Rambo.
Or will he be, you know, the Colonel?
Actually, I think the Colonel is going to be the guy from Stranger Things, played the sheriff.
Hopper.
Oh, really?
Hopper.
So they are casting it, and Franco will be John Rambo.
No, I don't know if he'll be Rambo. There's a young guy that they got to be Rambo.
Yeah.
Already.
Okay.
And this is supposed to be him, Vietnam era, kind of explaining how he became the Rambo you see in First Blood.
Okay.
I wonder if Sylvester will narrate it.
Yeah? Your legs. I can't find your legs.
I'm doing what? I can't find your fucking legs. I can't find your legs.
I love Rambo. I like the first one the best.
Oh, yeah.
It took
me a long time to figure out the real piece of crap cop that falls out of the helicopter is the guy you can't understand in Blazing Saddles. The sheriff is nearer.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's the same actor, yeah. He was in a lot of Mel Brooks movies.
Okay. I like that you said the sheriff is near. Be careful.
That's the TV translation.
Yeah.
The new sheriff is near.
No, got a blaring thing, blaring. The sheriff is a near.
Oh, Lordy Lord. Do as he say. Do what he say.
Stan Lee is returning. How about that? Isn't that great?
Excelsior.
Yes.
Excelsior, true believers. Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Yes, he's coming back. AI. 11 Labs has licensed Marvel's the Marvel Legends voice and likeness. So that means we are going to be seeing him or we'll hear his voice. I think that's disconcerting. The more I hear about this AI, the less I seem to like it.
in that respect, yeah. I understand legacy and I understand things going down to the family as time goes on, but I don't see that backwards effect of a family taking their history and putting it forward. Well,
did you see the digital or the AI William Shatner and that box thing that
he hated. Yeah.
Who hated it?
Shatner did. He
hated. I didn't hear anything. What did he say?
Oh, he said that looks like AI slop. Why did you do that?
But it looked real to me.
I guess that's all perception. He's seen himself over the years so much, but he didn't like the look of it at all.
No. The people are going to be going to Dragon Con and you're going to pay $50 to talk to a dead guy in a box.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dragon Con.
Well, that's the kind of stuff they'll be selling. They'll be selling little voiceover clips.
Yeah.
For ads and stuff like that. It's horrible.
Happy birthday.
But you remember how, you watch a Spider-Man movie or a Marvel movie and how exciting it would be to, like, see Stan Lee working, like, behind, you know, as the gas station clerk.
Yeah.
Like, are
they
going to do stuff like that? Because that won't be exciting anymore to see him if they do that.
I don't think Marvel will, I don't think they'll partake in what the family is offering.
Right.
Because they've already said that he's passed on that thing, you know, him being in all the movies and popping up here and there.
Right.
That they weren't going to have that happen anymore.
Well, real quick, before we get to the interview, we're going to do one more little quick take that early box office projections for Supergirl are looking disastrous. This comes from Breitbart, so take it with a grain of salt, I guess. It projects a weak opening weekend to 47 to 65 million. Again, I don't care what she says outside of being in the film. It looked good to me. And I like what they've done with the DC universe, so I'll probably go see it.
They said the same thing before Superman.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah.
I saw the full trailer before Mandalorian and Grogu.
And it looks really good. It.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, joining us tonight, Sean McBee, co-creator and writer of the supernatural detective comic Westron. Sean's a Georgia-based graphic designer and artist whose film and television work includes art department credits on projects like Red Notice and DC's Stargirl, where he worked in graphic design, content creation, and became part of that show's world-building machine. Now he's bringing that same eye for detail into Westron, a dark detective thriller mixing Nordic noir, private eye mystery, and Slavic supernatural horror. That sounds interesting. The story follows investigator Jan Westron, who gets pulled into a missing persons case after a young woman's body is found in the woods, which, as a general rule, is when you should stop asking questions and move to a condominium. The Kickstarter for Westron issue number 2 launches June 1st with a variant cover, digital and physical editions, and options for new readers to catch up on issue number 1. Sean, welcome back to Radio Labyrinth. For people just discovering Westron, what kind of nightmare are you inviting them into?
I mean, is there a bad kind of nightmare? Where we come from, you know, Brighton horror comics, they're all great nightmares. And that's what we're going for, is the Slavic kind of terrible, terrible awesomeness.
Do they have a different kind of... I don't know, supernatural or scary lore in their history?
Oh, they do. They've got all sorts of weird creatures that haven't really been touched on much in popular culture. The Witcher goes through some of it, but really only scratches the surface. And we're going for like some sort of deeper cuts. Cool. But, you know, our whole thing is we don't want to see more werewolves and vampires and like the same stuff that you've seen over and over again. So we're taking it in a different direction. My co-writer, MJ, is from Poland. So it's sort of the legends he was raised in. And when I came on, I was like, well, we also need to work in some like creepy Celtic stuff because I've been obsessed with them forever. And that's down the line. But I got some creepy Celtic stuff lined up because they got some real creepy monsters as well.
Yes.
That's cool. From like Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. You think of like leprechauns and it's no. They got like real dark shit.
Like Nessie?
Oh, so much worse than Nessie.
Nessie's just a sweet little dinosaur that lives in the lock.
This is your second issue that's coming out, number two. Your first issue, it hit its target in less than 6 hours.
Yeah, I was real happy about that.
That's
amazing. We got a bigger target this time, and we're working really hard to hit that target on day one.
And that's June 1st, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The first 24 hours. So up to 9 a.m. on June 2nd, Eastern time, U.S. We're offering all sorts of cool incentives to try to get people to back on day one. All day one backers will get one of these cool little challenge coins. So everyone that backs on day one gets one of these. And I have more goodies. We're doing these dimensional cover art pieces. If you can see that, it's a texture to it. I've got one for all the number two covers, but the number one cover is only going to get made if we hit our goal on day one. And then everyone that backs a physical reward in the campaign will get one for free.
Nice.
And that's awesome. Can people jumping in now go back and get issue one?
I've got copies left from the last campaign, and I'll have all the covers except for the Azamu edition available to add to the campaign, because the Azamu edition was one that we did just for that Kickstarter campaign, and we only printed a total of 30, and no more will ever be printed.
So what's the reception like? Do you get reviews and just get lots of positive feedback and stuff like that outside of the Kickstarter and the fans who are buying the comic book?
Well, I've sent it out to some reviewers, and the reviews have been pretty overwhelmingly positive.
That's great.
There's one podcast called Critiquing Comics that did a real deep dive on both issues, and they had some criticisms that are valid. A lot of things, you know, that I knew someone would bring up. And a lot of them are going to not be an issue once you've read more on. And they'll go, oh, now I get it.
I was just going to say, the thing that I like about this, everything that you're getting for joining the Kickstarter, not only do you get good art and a good story, but you get things that aren't created in an era where, and we're guilty of this sometimes, but we're just humble podcasters, where things are made with AI, and the blowback has been so strong. And I think that, and I've said this throughout, the ascendancy of AI and people trying to use it to be creative is that the value of things that people create with their minds and their hands will skyrocket, because if so many things are being made using AI and with lazy things like that, the value of real human art is just going to be limitless. And so I'd applaud everything like this where you're working really hard and you put your heart and soul into things. And we're still doing art.
Yeah, we've got a hard line no AI stance at Westron. And we're going to stick to that, because our human artists are doing work that is like far beyond what we could imagine, and infinitely beyond what a machine's going to be able to conceive of.
Because I applaud you for that. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, we're very serious about it, because I'm so sick of seeing generated AI art everywhere. I should specify generative AI.
Yes.
Because they're slapping the AI label on absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And some things are not creating art. Like the program that I use to make this textured and dimensional, it's software that came with the machine that I printed it on, and it uses AI. It's really large language machine learning.
Yeah.
To figure out, you know, what the textures should be. That's not the same as generative AI, where you say, make me a picture of a funny comic about a liberal, and it's always going to generate some lady with blue hair and
yeah,
piercings.
Let's talk more about Westron. You guys have some questions, and let's talk about how people can find the Kickstarter.
Yeah, if you guys got Q's, I got A's.
Now, tell us what you can about issue number 2 without spoiling anything.
Well, issue number 2 picks up right where issue number 1 left off, which is in our A timeline and our flashback timeline. In both instances, our main character, Jan, is getting ready to set off on the respective cases of those time frames. And so now he's moving forward with those investigations and uncovering some pretty dark shit. And big twist.
Okay.
Just going to say big twist, big shocker at the end that's going to have you wanting to jump straight into number 3.
Now, after you do a successful campaign on Kickstarter, do you get companies coming to you going, we want to put your book out and mass produce it and put it in comic shops?
So, fun story, no. I think if we had like a much, much bigger turnout than we did, it could be a thing. But our success was based on our low goals, really. It wasn't a huge comic, but we hit our goal really fast. We more than doubled our goal. And our end goal, not financial goal, but end goal was to be able to finance number 2. And we did that. So here we are with number 2. It took us longer to get here than we expected because we're trying to build some stuff. We just miscalculated. And so here we are, number 2. And now we're going to move forward. We've learned from our mistakes. We didn't think there was going to be a learning curve between campaigns, but there was. And so now I think we're ready for that. And if this one's successful, we'll move right into 3. And my hope is to have 3 out before the end of the year. And hopefully at least the campaign for number 4 running before the end of the year, maybe even have number 4 in people's hands by the end of the year. If we can continue being successful, that's the important part.
And that takes a lot of promotion and a lot of hard work on your end, on social media and in finding the websites to get everything too. But given how much positive feedback you got for number 1, I think you'll probably get that for number 2 as well, because it's an interesting story, it's new, and the artwork is great.
We have been getting good feedback from the reviewers. Reviews are posted on our website at westerncomic.com. There are links to them, you know. And I mean, I've read some of these reviews going, wow, am I that good a writer? Cool.
Plug the artists. Are you using all the same artists from the first issue?
Oh, yeah. I'm very dedicated to keeping the whole aesthetic.
Yeah, because they're fantastic.
So we have our modern story artist is Nicholas Nieto. And then our flashback artist is Mateus De Vincenzo. And they're both absolutely fantastic. I love them so much. This campaign, actually, we're going to have original page art and cover art from them as add-ons on the campaign. And most of the money from anyone that purchases those is going to go straight to the artists.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
How many issues do you think you'd like to get done for this story?
This story is 4 issues.
Okay.
But we have 7 story arcs or chapters planned for the entire run of Western. And I don't know how many issues that takes up because we haven't broken them all down enough to get to that point. But we have a general idea of what the next 6 stories after this one are.
And what do you do when you're not working on the comic book or the Kickstarter?
I mostly pull my hair out. I'm a graphic designer in the film industry.
Mm-hmm.
And the film industry is really hurting right now. So I'm doing what I can to get by. Sometimes that is living in a dystopia by literally getting paid to train AI to replace me. They pay well though.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. You know, I'm helping them dig that hole so the bubble bursts. That's what I'm really doing. And then I've got too many hobbies to deal with that I don't have any time for. But literally right now, almost all my time is just on the comic. I'm also developing an app specifically for comic book writers. It's going to be like Final Draft, but for comic book writers, and built from the ground up just for comic books.
That's really cool.
It'll be an undertaking that like no one has ever done before, I believe. And I'm really excited about it, actually.
I like that creators can make their own space and offer it up to other creators too, but all with the same goal. We all listen to Dungeon Crawler Carl. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but not only are they very well written, what is it called? Lit RPG.
Mm-hmm.
But the audiobooks, it's like a theater inside your head. And Jeff Hayes, who's the main voice person on all the books, does all the narration and all the characters. He has his own app. And what is that called, Dustin? And where they, I mean, it's just fantastic where they do all sorts of different stories. But
yeah, Sound Booth Theater.
Right. And my point about that is, thank you, is that he built this himself. And it's all like-minded people, all telling stories and being amazing with audio and not using AI, by the way, just doing all the sound effects. And it's amazing. So I think that's cool. And same for you, building a space where creative people can get together and share and make it an app so everybody has access to it.
Yeah, that's the whole, I mean, it's like I said, with the podcast network, I built the podcast network that I wished I had. I'm building the app that I wish I could write in. And it's to the point where I can write in it now.
Right.
Nice.
So there's that. And now it's just getting it ready for other people and adding a lot more features in.
And I think our takeaway is that AI is going to burst and generative AI will never catch on. And human beings will continue to write and create and draw and paint. And I think that the future is actually a lot rosier than they tell us every day on the news and on social media.
Yeah.
At least I hope it is.
Until the robots get time travel, then they send somebody back to kill Sarah Connor and then we're all done.
Why you got to mention that, Jeff?
I do have good news on that front.
Yes.
The prevailing quantum mechanical theory on time travel is that once a time machine is invented, it is impossible to travel through time to a point before the time machine was invented.
Yes.
So until they invent it, we're safe.
All right.
I just invented the time machine. I'm going to go back to today.
That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Half an hour ago when I turned it on.
I mean, you can still go forward.
Oh, you can.
Though at this point, I don't know why anyone would want to.
I wouldn't want to go forward at all. I like being surprised by things. Well, sometimes I don't.
I'll tell everybody where the website is and point them towards the Kickstarter and everything.
So I've recently just remade westerncomic.com. It's beautiful. And I'm just going to point everyone there because there are links to follow the campaign all over the place. They're yellow. You can't miss them. And that'll take you straight to the campaign page. Right now, you can follow the campaign until it goes live. So you'll get an email as soon as it does go live. And then you should definitely back it on day one, because we got like up to four different cool goodies for people to back on day one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to jump on there and I'll go back and buy another, a different cover for issue number one if I can bundle it.
One of the fun things we're doing, and I'm really excited that I came up with this idea, is I got a UV printer down in my basement. That's how I made these things.
Right.
And it can print on basically anything. It can print white ink. It can print on clear stuff. It's great. So I got these thin little bookmarks. And what I'm going to do is we're going to have a decoder bookmark for this issue. So in the back pages, there's going to be a code that you need to lay this bookmark on top of to see the full solution. And that's going to tell you how to get a bonus Western story an earlier story from his Red Case book.
Oh, that's cool.
Not going to publish in comic book form.
Wow.
So that'll be the only place people can read that. And I think that's a really cool idea, if I do say so myself.
I think it's really fun. Yeah.
Well, the website looks great, by the way. So guys, go check out the website, westerncomic.com, and it's easy to navigate. There's all the cool stuff on there, and there's even a shop where you can, well, the inventory file is temporarily closed, it says.
Yeah, I have to do some testing to make sure that the store is secure and working properly.
Yes.
But that's all stuff that you can get on the Kickstarter campaign anyway, so.
Right on. All right, Sean, thank you very much for coming back on.
Thanks for having me on. You guys are so fun.
Yeah, we love having you, and best of luck. And I hope, again, everybody, go check it out, especially our comic book folks, and we have a lot of them. Go check out the comic book. Check out the website.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. Everyone, check out westerncomic.com. You won't be disappointed.
Hey, I want to thank our sponsors for Radio Labyrinth, our long-running partners in this little scheme of a podcast we have. Starting with Atlanta Pizza in Euro. They are over in Conyers, which is Dustin's neck of the woods, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a family-owned restaurant in Conyers with the best local craft beer. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Craft beer not your cup of tea? Well, guess what? Try the $4 16-ounce Tallboy cans of Busch Light, Natty Light, Coors Light, and PBR. Gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties. So just go out there and munch down and have a couple of brews and say that we sent you. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The food truck season is upon us, and they have a number of event dates scheduled through the fall. So if you're interested in possibly booking Atlanta Pizza in Euro for a corporate or private event, please give Mike a call at 770-483-6228. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays 12 to 9, and they are closed on Sundays. Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by another longtime friend, our buddy Brett at LDI. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, then all you got to do is contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005. They got fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. All right. Thanks to Sean for coming on the show. Let's do our staff picks before we wrap up. Who wants to go first?
Mine's a new Craig Ferguson series on TNN, American on Purpose.
I bet you that's going to be good.
Yeah, I like Craig Ferguson.
Yeah,
I miss seeing him on TV.
Yeah, I liked his show.
His late night show was the best one when it was on.
Yeah. Let's see. Mine is, I got John Carpenter's They Live, came out in 4K. So I get to watch that 20-minute boxing match in 4K.
I love that movie.
It's such a good movie, and it kind of rings true now, too.
Yeah, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzie, do you have one?
I was just going to do The Mandalorian, but we already talked about it. I'd suggest, if you have kids or family, taking them to go see it. It's a really good movie.
Awesome.
And it's got like a wholesome message to it, for sure.
Well, I will check it out based on your recommendation alone. I don't care about these other
things. Yeah, the entire message is don't eat cookies before dinner.
Okay. my staff pick is something that's been out for, I think, a week or so now. It's Dan Soder and Will Sasso are on the Chris Van Villet. I don't know how to say his name, so hopefully that's correct. Podcast. It was one of the best podcasts I've watched in a while. Just nonstop wrestling and comedian impressions between those two. It was great. Did anybody else watch it?
Yeah, I watched clips.
Yeah, I've watched it. It's really good.
The Rodney stuff was good. All of it was good. It was just an enjoyable. That's the kind of stuff I like on podcasts now. I'm not getting involved in Podcastistan, which is a whole other thing.
They both do the same wrestler. So it was like dueling banjos with their wrestling impersonations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a really good Dusty
Rhodes.
I almost said Dusty Slay. And as far as I know, by the way, Dusty's Working Man is available now on YouTube. It's no longer on Netflix. So you could watch it there. So if you're interested in becoming a Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have two new stickers that we're going to be sending out to everybody. Everybody gets two that's already on there. That's at the $5 and up level. So that's our base level. If you want to do that, that's fantastic. We would love it if you would do that. $5, you know, that's almost a gallon of gas these days. I understand that, but anyway, or you can join up and be a producer for $25 a month, and you are getting yourself a T-shirt from our T-shirt shop, and you get a message. What? I'm fading. You get a shout out every week for being an executive producer. And this week, I want to say thank you to Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, and Pat Turner. Thank you guys very, very much. And I don't think I'm missing anybody, but if I am, please let me know. And as always, when you're a Patreon member, you are eligible to win a pair of tickets to go to an upcoming Punchline show. Thank you to our guest, Sean McBee. Don't forget that his Kickstarter for the Westeron issue number 2 launches June 1st. So check it out and check out episode or issue number 1. Now, if you're watching us on YouTube, please like, subscribe, share, and comment. Commenting is great. It gets that algorithm going, hey, people are watching this and they like it. They're commenting. Ask us questions in the comments. I mean, hey, why not? We'll answer them. Obviously, we will. I promise. I swear to God. And if you're listening to us, you know, leave a comment, share, and rate us. What else do I have to say? Make sure, if you're a Patreon member, to be on the lookout very soon. We have 3 stickers coming your way, and I promise you that you will get them before 2027. I swear to God that you will. I promise. But thank you all very, very much, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend, and remember to keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio.